Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. I want to welcome you to the Vibrant Living Network. Has anybody congratulated you today on breaking the rules? Has anybody said to you, you know, at the bank or another place, they said, it's really good you broke the rules? I was sitting this morning, I was reviewing a conversation I had with Dr. Bernie Siegel. And one of the things that, as an oncologist, he noticed that people who broke the rules in the hospital lived a lot longer or had recoveries. You conforming to get along. You conforming to fit in. So we're going to talk today about vibrant speaking, which, by the way, so vibrant speaking, and my book is called Unscripted Power. And the thing is that as you become more unscripted in your body, in your movement, in your voice, your dancing voice, your moving voice, it's a moving voice, the more the vibrancy will come forward. And I wanted to share with you kind of a quick story about how this first happened to me in a very physical way. So when I was a teenager, my first experience of vibrant speaking came when Dr. Paul Bragg was coming to New York City. And this is the beginning of my book. I want to give you an unedited version today if you want one. Matter of fact, this book is called Unscripted Power. So the first thing, I heard my teacher was coming to New York. He used to call New York City the poison city. He said there's too much air pollution there. But he was coming to the Roosevelt Hotel. And I'm saying this, I want you guys to feel, when you have something that moves you, it moves your body. There's a relationship between what moves your spirit and moves your body. So I pretty much went from a place where I was kind of like, I didn't feel that good in those days. I was still going through some different physical things. But I knew Paul was coming. It was almost like a homing beam. I felt he was coming to New York. And I went to New York, and I went to the Roosevelt Hotel, where he was going to be speaking. And here I was. It was midwinter. I had acne on my face, and it was like I felt like I went from one place, and I went up the mountain. I went to a different place, which happens when you become vibrant. What happens when you speak to the soul of the audience, you become a shapeshifter. You actually could move with your body in a different way. And I'm honored to say I have a whole bunch of movement people who work with people's bodies. And I don't want to use the word work. I'm actually going to get into the second half of the show. Working gets in the way of your awareness. I want to get into that a little later. So I walk into the lobby, and I had a pretty light jacket. I was a winter jacket. And I remember there was a huge bouquet of flowers. I didn't know anybody. I wasn't expecting to meet anybody. I knew in my heart I was going to meet Paul Bragg. And I walked up to the counter, and I want you guys to listen to this because I want you to feel there's going to be moments where you'll need to call upon that vibrancy and trust your body in a way you haven't before. And so I walked up to the counter, and there was a guy named Eddie Mack standing there. He was part of the New York Polar Bears, the people who swam in the ocean. And I had a brief interaction with him. And before I knew it, he invited me to take the bouquet of flowers up to Paul's room. And I got in the elevator. I went about 17 floors. And Paul Bragg, Patricia Bragg, his daughter. Those of you who don't know who Paul Bragg is, he was Jocko Lane's teacher. He opened the first health food store in the United States. He was a pioneer. He was someone that when I went to school, I brought his books with me and read something that moved my soul. So when Patricia first opened the door, I felt like it almost like the energy of the ocean come towards me as Paul was walking towards me. No introduction. He came right to me and took me outside of the room for a second. And he said, what's your name? I said, Glenn. He said, Glenn, there's three things I want you to pay attention to. He goes, all the people who criticized me and all the people that have opinions, they're underneath me now. He pointed down. They're underneath me. They passed away. And he goes, it's really relevant that you live your purpose and your relational purpose as if your life depended on it. I heard him say those words. And then he told me that dying is a bad habit. He says, Glenn, he goes, dying is a bad habit. Don't get into the habit of dying. He goes, make each day about living. Now, as he said this to me, I felt it actually move into my bone marrow. I felt this level with those words had energy and pulse that I'd never heard before. And, of course, he told me that what other people were thinking is not relevant to me. Right? But he said these words, and they came inside, and I started to feel, and I was in tune with this last night, that a lot of times my thinking has nothing to do with what's relevant. Your thinking is just thinking. When you feel this vibrancy in your body, and we teach this program, we have this program called the Vibrant Living Challenge, and we have people practice listening and moving with their bodies so when they feel it, they could get up and they can move around the room. So they can not just own the stage, but they could own the room and they could own their body, right? It's very different when you go to school and they start telling you to sit down and raise your hand, right? So that meeting pretty much ignited something in me. Now, it ignited something in me that opened my eyes and allowed me to see in a different direction. I want to welcome Lisa LaRose, who I had the honor of meeting about 18 years ago. At the time, she was a client. She came for 4 days of hiking, some hula hooping, and to host a show in California and to really be able to impact people in a more vibrant way. And she's been a very kind family member to me, and I'm honored that she's with us as a co-host today. And I appreciate all the stuff, the good stuff you do, and pulling me out of my lateral thinking sometimes, which is very difficult, Lisa. Thank you for that as well.
Thank you, Glenn. Very nice introduction.
I also welcome Ariel, who's the more that I get to know Ariel Bonberg, homeopath and natural health writer. Matter of fact, I read Ariel's website the other day, Lisa, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. I got to go see this guy. And then I realized, oh, it's Ariel's website. That's really impressive. So welcome, Ariel, New York producer, as we move forward with New York. I'm sorry, we move forward with Vibrant Living New York and so all the wonderful people there. All the wonderful people of Vibrant Living Vermont, Vibrant Living Los Angeles, Vibrant Living San Francisco, Vibrant Living Colorado. By the way, if you're interested in opening in one of these marketplaces for our very one-of-a-kind network where we go beyond the interview and the formula and we explore things down to the bones, you could call today. Take a moment to get a pen. 413-345-3747. 413-345-3747. And let's do this. Let's flip a coin. Let's go to Lisa on line 116. I had so much fun the other day, Lisa, when I had Janu. We did a recording with Rita and Mariska. And I said to Janu, because we're going to do this recording within 24 hours, I said, you know, I wanted to get a panel together. These are two women that want to be public speakers and speak at some of our forums. And I said, you're going to have to cover the whole New York City. Now, you recall, Lisa, when Janu was on our show, you weren't on the show, I don't think, when Janu was here, were you?
No, I don't.
Were you? Okay, yeah. So he was very shy in the show and very held back. And so I opened the recording. What I do with clients is I practice with them in person. I practice with them so they can feel their energy in their body and the vibrancy. And it's incredible in groups, by the way. But anyway, we're doing a recording, and I said, you know, you got to cover the whole New York. So what I do is I'm feeling the energy of the audience, if you will. And I say, Rita and Mariska, we have Vinny from Brooklyn. He did a Vinny from Brooklyn that was so good. I just couldn't believe it. It was like 9 days from last week, Lisa, or 2 weeks ago. Oh, it was a week ago. He was just like so expansive and wondrous. I just loved his Vinny. And then I had him be Scotty from Brooklyn, and he did this other character. And they didn't feel like characters. They felt like real people in dilemmas with kids around neurological damage. And he just spoke so boldly and clearly. I was like really amazed to see how his perception. One perception was he was speaking in front of an audience. The other perception, he could hang out at just the three of us. Perception. I was giving you the microphone, Lisa. That was a, when I said perception, I was handing you the microphone.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it is yeah. It's an interesting distinction, I think, to be able to have and be able to be a chameleon where you can, you know, adapt and really speak to whatever it is that your audience needs at the time. I know for me, when you know, different topics, you know, sometimes it's a business related lecture that I'm having to speak to an audience where they're very right brained, you know, and other times I'm speaking to more people that are very versed in natural healing, and the conversations are different. And so as you so eloquently do, Glenn, you know, you really are able to open up directions where you can speak from, you know, one person to 1,000 and really touch their hearts. And I think that's where you have that discernment, whether you're Vinny from Brooklyn or Scotty from Queens, is that where he was from? You know, it's about that playfulness, I think, that you find. And I'm sure, Ariel, in your practice and in what you do, that when you engage with different people, you have different explorations. And what have you noticed, totally. Ariel?
I've noticed that, you know, as a practitioner myself, you meet all different kinds of men, women, children, from so many diverse backgrounds and places, and it's very true. I think that in order to really succeed and in order to really to be able to connect with everybody, you have to be like a chameleon, like you said. You know, not in like a, obviously not like a sneaky way, but more in the sense that if you want to be able to connect and understand somebody and what they're going through and what they're dealing with, you know, the best way to communicate is to kind of put yourself in their shoes. And I guess by doing so, and by being that unprejudiced observer, as Hahnemann says, you know, you're really better able to comprehend and to digest, you know, who they are, where they're at, you know, where do they want to go, what do they want to achieve, and et cetera. And I think it's a very important thing. I think you and Glenn definitely share that ability as well.
Thank you.
It is definitely something that is very crucial, you know, in any setting, whether it's helping people or even whether it's just hanging out with a friend or whatever it may be. You know, it's something everybody really, you know, really cherishes, and it's something that we shouldn't take for granted.
Absolutely. You know, and Glenn, the other day when we were speaking, you said that you have the ability to see the light in somebody's eyes. And mm-hmm. that really, you know, touched me, because I think, you know, to be able to have that as a gift is really a wonderful, wonderful thing, you know, to see the light in somebody's eyes. I don't know if you would care to share a little bit more about how that unfolded for you.
I appreciate your sweet listening. Yeah, how it unfolded for me, Lisa, was I came into the horizontal world one day. In the horizontal world, you know, there's the vertical world and the horizontal world, and I discovered the vertical world at different moments in my life. And what I mean is, I kind of went beyond my conditioned thinking, and I saw things, and I saw people do stuff that didn't make any sense to me, and I couldn't get it. But when I had my paper route, I would speak to people, and I could see that when we hit upon something that was had meaningfulness, I could see the light in their pulse change. I could feel it, and that was like Mrs. Brooke. You know, she was one of my clients, and she'd come out and she would say stuff to me. Maybe she didn't say the whole week. I had a few people like that. And, you know, here's the funny thing. And you guys, I think the audience is going to relate to this. I already was a coach. I already in my being knew I was going to, this was it. Of course, I'd come home. My parents would say, well, you need to get another job. Kind of distracting. So imagine if you're in this energy, we'll call it the vital sensation of the thing. You're in it. And then someone says, well, there's a counterfeit thing over here. And so I began in different ways to sense that when I would, like as an example now, I could pick up someone's breath over the phone pretty easily, very quickly. And then I could actually feel the light sometimes when I could feel this sense of a different sensation, particularly when we make a bond, or we have a mutual blink. We blink and we see the same tree. We blink, and it's sort of an interesting moment that, you know, we're both sort of in this vertical place, and I feel a sense of warmth in my hands, a sense of ease, even if my thinking is way off. So it's just a physical thing. And then I had it happen again with Tianco probably 5 years ago. Tianco's, I'm going to introduce people to Tianco. Tianco is an astrophysicist. There's a Qigong. I don't know if he would say Qigong. He actually teaches, he ignites people to experience what he calls natural Qi movement. So he asked me to go into a room, Lisa and Ariel, and he just said, I'm going to send you something and just move with it. So it was kind of amazing. It was almost like, imagine just letting your body for a moment run you. So you don't have to consciously do something. Just allow your body. And in the natural Qi movement, what happened with me is all these parts of my body moved, and I noticed I was having that experience about a year or two before I met Tianco, and then I noticed it with couples. I could feel with couples, as an example, the sense of the light in their eyes, and then the light in their eyes together. And it's, you know, I think the whole thing, Lisa and Ariel, is each day we get up and we wake up, there's this opportunity to have another vertical leap, to allow the vertical to allow us to see in a different way. And it's very uncommon that people talk about that or recognize that. So I'm really honored to have you both, because it's inspiring to be able to explore this. And it's very practical. I mean, Ariel, this is very good music you've chosen today. Of course, that's early Cat Stevens. Kidding. You like Precious and Joy. Stay with Ariel and Lisa, and I'll show up as well. I'm Glenn Brooks for the Vibrant Living Network. Stay with us.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras. A new double album of guided meditations to transform your life. A sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com. M-E-T-T-A mindfulnessmusic.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket. A tent. A sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Radio Network. I'm Glenn Brooks. our network is bigger than radio. We're actually in the middle of starting to film a film. And I realize, as this relates to speaking, vibrant speaking, imagine your life. I'm along with Elisa and Ariel here on Thursday afternoon, expecting a storm on the East Coast. You can feel it in the air. So having a movie, thinking that you're producing a movie, one of the things I notice is I'm building a whole cast of people right now. And it's so strengthening and inspiring to have other people see this with you. They see it and they give energy to it. By the way, one of the first exercises, as I'm looking at Lisa's wonderful write-up here on speaking 1 to 1,000, I build – when we have hosts come on the Vibrant Living Network, you're not just a host. You become a vibrant speaker. And we give you guys really cool exercises. So I did this exercise myself, by the way. I met this very unusual entrepreneur, very innovative guy, and he had us practice this exercise. The exercise was very simple, and I built this into the Vibrant Living Challenge. The idea was you stand up in front of the room, and you do something you absolutely love. It could be sing a song. It could be tell a poem. It could be to show people something that, you know, maybe something that you, what do you call it? You sewed something you wanted to share with people, and people would stand up and pay you. Now, what's kind of interesting about this is that none of us pretty much have a good education about being paid for who we are and being paid for what really is vital for us. So this was a very powerful initiation and was very counter. And I realized in my life, I feel like there's another whole level of seeing this that I didn't have 10 years ago. I didn't have 5 years ago. So I want to ask you, Lisa, in your vertical life, what do you see different now than, let's say, 10 years ago? Like, what do you see has been something on a vertical level where you don't, something shifted. It might be you're younger, like it might be it affected your cells. It might be that, I don't know, you move differently. What's something you could see in your life now that has impacted you from a vertical place that wasn't there 10 years ago? Or it wasn't there, let's say, yeah, five years ago in linear time. What do you see now as a vertical leap in your life?
Wow, that's a very good question and a very loaded question.
didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, you know what? It's not putting me on the spot at all. It's just to choose from, because I think the quality, I think the biggest thing for me is discernment, you know, discerning about my time. It goes along with languaging. You know, I look at the languaging of have a good day versus enjoy a good day.
Yeah.
Or, you know, spending time with somebody versus sharing, you know, a moment with somebody. And when you start to really change the languaging around things, it helps you in navigating through things. I think that there's a sense of ease and grace and just moving through things. I recognize how precious time is. And, you know, I've become a little bit more covetous of my time than I had been in the past, where I would allow things to distract me and really mostly focus on what's important in my world. And it's not the things that a lot of people would think of, I think. And, you know, right now with all of the fires that are going on, and I have a lot of friends in the Los Angeles area, and my heart really goes out to them. But in an instant, everything can be gone. And, you know, in the 5-10 minutes you would have to grab something before an evacuation, what would be most precious to you? And so that's sort of what I kind of look at every day. You know, what's most precious to me? What are the things that are important? The people I choose to share time with, really, that I think that's the greatest distinction, you know. Not to put you on the spot, Ariel, but, you know, the same question to be directed to you. What really has shifted for you in your world?
It's a very interesting question. And I think there's many different ways to answer that. I think, of course, there are those personal, I guess, you know, life events and things that change. You know, for me, I think the biggest I can say, you know, I'm actually sorry. Do you mean, Glenn, I just want to clarify. Do you mean in
general? Yeah, yes, yes.
Okay, good. So I think for me, the biggest thing for me has been getting married. You know, as a young married man, and I mean in a very, very positive way. Because when a person gets married, you know, when I got married, it was living a completely different world. And it's really for the better, you know, because when you get married, you're marrying another person. You're marrying your second half, you know, the other half of your soul. And it's really true because, you know, like when I got married, I personally, like everybody else, we all have a lot of, you know, strengths and weaknesses and things that were good, things that were best in, things that were not as, you know, great in, whatever that may be. And I think just being married completely changed, you know, I could say it definitely changed the way I looked at things, the way, you know, my sensitivities to things, and, you know, just the way I perceive things. And I think that's something that plays, that's had a, like a ripple effect in, you know, all of my relationships, in, you know, friendly relationships, definitely spiritually, definitely, you know, in terms of work, in terms of my practice, of meeting people, of working with people. And I think it's something, I think when a person enters that communion and that, you know, elevated relationship, you know, and you come that full force, that full soul and that full being, you know, a good marriage to really help you propel you to the higher, the greater heights, where you have the tools and abilities now to achieve more than you can. And, you know, for me, I think that's been the biggest change for me. And I think thank God it's been a major change in a very, you know, a very positive, a very productive, and very efficient way as well.
Ariel, I want to welcome Dr. Teshnews with us. And I want to say that your heart, you know, your heart is a human being. I felt your heart open and go to another whole level from when you announced your marriage. I could really feel another level in you. And of course, I am a vibrant matchmaker. So I love what you speak. I think marriage is, marriage is a mystical union that amplifies our soul energy, our sense of wonder and seeing together. And the mystical marriage or the deep marriage is different than the counterfeit marriage. And I feel in your heart, I feel the wonder that it's, that's in your life. Dr. Teshnews, are you there by chance? Wow, she's not there. This is our segment on relationship. You just did that so well, Ariel. You and Lisa. I was actually listening to the spirit of Lisa's words. You know, there's a guy that I'm supposed to contact. He just wrote a book called Conscious Language. Everybody says, you got to contact this guy because languaging is so powerful. Lisa, you know, there's not a day that goes by that someone says something to me, right? They say it, and they kind of say it in a mechanical way. They'll say, like, have a good day, or they'll say something, and it's almost like I usually exhale, and I soften my body because sometimes in the past, when I was speeding, the police always say, hang tight. And I say to myself, hang loose, Glenn, hang loose. Nothing to hang tight about here. It's already a tough situation. Hang loose, hang loose. And I said that to the policeman too. I'm like, here's my hands. Here I am right here. I'm not going anyplace. Let's hang loose together. It's a relational moment for us. And then one day the state trooper, he started to talk to me about somebody he didn't like who was in office, and I didn't get a ticket. So hang loose. Don't collapse, but hang loose. All right, our relational moment. Even though Tesha is not here, so Tesha and I are teaching a course, and there'll be some surprise guests, and I'm really going to be honored next week, Lisa and Ariel, to start to announce some of my advisors for Vibrant Matchmaking. So Vibrant Matchmaking, before I dive into our topic, which is how to ask for the moon and get it in relationship, how to ask for the moon. And that the fact that actually asking is a blessing. A lot of us haven't learned that, right? A lot of us have learned that we're greedy with this or that if we ask. So Vibrant Matchmaking. Boy, I'm not a conventional matchmaker at all. And I learned that recently when another matchmaker called me and she said to me, Glenn, I need someone for this cardiologist. She kind of described the rear end of this person. It was very funny. She goes, this is what she needs to look like. And I said, Beverly, I don't work that way at all. As a matter of fact, I'm beyond dating to relating. And so it kind of surprised her, took it back a little bit. So the idea of vibrant matchmaking, and I'm going to dive into this topic with you guys, is that you're matching on vibrancy. You're not matching on counterfeitness or the outer or the counterfeit rules of the dating game. You're matching on a level of vibrancy and connection for this lifetime. And the Kabbalah, if I could quote the Kabbalah from my interpretation in my heart of the Kabbalah, is that really the more that we live in this tree of life, this wonder that something beyond our knowledge, we come alive together. And I think Ariel said it really beautifully, that you sort of come together with your other half and you become this other relational being, and your breath becomes different and your sense of wonder. And the truth is that men and women, and I had the honor of having so many beautiful women in my life, like Lisa, that had this wonder and beauty that blessed me as a man. And so the we conversation, by the way, is from a different place in our brain. When you say me conversation, it's not the full spectrum of the brain, but when we dialogue together. So men and women, when they come together, as they do in our Vibrant Speaking events and also the Vibrant Living Challenge, they really have this experience. So the experience is how to ask for the moon and get it in relationship. Well, here's the thing. When you're with someone and you feel stabilized, and what I mean by that, you feel like you could really begin to say anything. You know, because we really get instructed, don't say this, don't say that, don't go there, don't move this way, don't twitch, don't do. It's kind of like in the conversation I've been having with Rita and Mariska, we talk a lot about neurologically challenged children, or neurologically children that are labeled a certain way, from autism to different parts of that spectrum. And they really, a lot of the conventional methods kind of treat them as damaged dogs. I'm sorry to say. So when you're stabilized, when you feel like you could sit and breathe in your whole body, you could feel the warmth of your hands. I feel so honored when someone asks me that they trust my love enough to know that they could ask me anything that's going to surprise them. They'll, you know, so how do you ask the moon? Is you start to practice having asking periods. Periods where you say, you know, no one's ever held my, I'll give you an example. No one in my life held and touched my heart sac. We have a sac around our heart. It's an amazing little sac. And it holds this precious heart that's in us. I want you guys to tune into that right now. You got a heart sac. You got a heart pulse. And we're sharing right now a beating heart. So if you exhale, you have a beating heart. And we have a beating heart together. Now, I was having someone... it wasn't work on my heart sac. He was actually just getting a sense of where my heart sac could open. So in every moment, we have an expansion and a contraction. And I said to him, I said to Jason, I said, wow, this is the most intimate thing. So when you're with your partner, and this is a part of vibrant matchmaking, I often give people very specific physical exercises, like as an example, touching pinkies. So when you touch even your pinky with someone, your nervous system begins to respond. So if I breathe and I'm sitting with someone as a vibrant matchmaker and they begin to feel this pulse and we feel it together, we're inviting someone in our lives that we want to marry or be in a long, deep relationship with, and it begins to change our system. So unfortunately, a lot of us have received messages about asking that's frightening and disturbing, and we begin to develop this other script. So we develop the script itself, and then we're cautious. So as you unfold the cautiousness, you could begin to ask for the moon in relationship and get it. And you begin to experience what Ariel was kind of pointing to, this wonder of being able to ask someone and being able to receive that is such a potent thing. So part of vibrant matchmaking, by the way, is also divorce dependence on each other. So divorce upon each other is a special retreat we put together because we realize that so many people divorce while they're in stages of relationship. And then they conclude, then they script a relationship. So as an example, there's certain people you say you know, but really no one gets in the way. Relationship happens when you drop the script of the other person and you see them. It's sort of a blessing. You know, there was a guy in my town, he was considered a criminal. And he lived next door to me. He'd come over, and he would just give me so much reverence. I would take walks with Norman. But I never had a script about him being a criminal. And around me, he had to be the most beautiful person. So in relationship, an intimate relationship, the opportunity is to drop the scripts, yes, mentally, but physically, softened. We're tuning forks for each other. So when people come to me, and they've done dating sites, and they've done a lot of things externally, that's all cold energy, I could tell you. It's all cold. Something different happens when you make, even if your pinky or your toe, So I share with things that people could experience receiving the love of their life, because when you receive something deeply in your imagination and your body, you now can tune into it. If you see what a beautiful oak tree is and you feel the oak tree, there's an oakness about it. There's an energy about it. There's a wonder about it. I ask people to leave their logical minds behind and feel and tune into this. And how I developed this was when I went through my own, as Lisa would say, I'm glad you say that a lot, my own relational tsunami. Thank you, Lisa. I started to wake up in a different way in my body. I started to wake up in a different way in my body, and I started to share with people. And a lot of people would say to me, Lisa and Ariel, that, like, women would say to me often, that, God, I could feel a love for my husband I hadn't felt before until we had this dialogue. So asking is a blessing. It's a mitzvah. It's wonder. And it starts by the recognition that in our culture, it's very, all the self-improvement, a lot of the spiritual stuff is all about me. What I'm asking you to do is consider there's a we that's already there. So when you're at the store today, if you want to meet someone, I want you to realize that the masculine, not the collapsed masculine we hear about, not the collapsed feminine, but there's a wonder and beauty of that masculine. This woman called me yesterday. She said, Glenn, I was at the subway, and this man put his hand on my back, and she said it felt so good to have the masculine put his hand on my back. We're not hearing this conversation in the culture today. We're not hearing the conversation that touch with men and women is a profound thing. We're hearing this tremendous caution conversation. So when we have a caution conversation, we freeze up in our sympathetic nervous system, and we then what that becomes is Cupid's poison. So Cupid's poison is where we're around someone, we're kind of dating them, and, you know, we have this sort of emergency sympathetic. We have sex, but it's not the deeper thing. It's not the deeper sex. So I will stop. I did say tsunami again, Lisa. I know that, you know, that's one of my favorite things to say. Yeah.
Actually, I have a question for you, Glenn. You know, when we come back. Well, I would like to ask.
That's the song. That was the moment you could have sang a Shirley Temple song or something. That was an original Shirley Temple theme, wasn't it? Your life's precious. Enjoy it. I so deeply appreciate you guys. And Ariel, I want to say the work that you did this last week touched my heart. Thank you. Stay with us, guys.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Radio Network. The Vibrant Living Network. But beyond radio, we do films, we do events, we do Vibrant Living Summits. I want to ask you guys a question. Paul Avdarino. I wonder if he always sounded like a new age composer in high school. You know, like, I just have this vision of getting called upon, and he stands up and go, "My name's Paul Avdarino, and I'm a new age composer at the high school." What if he always spoke like that? You guys wonder that? You know? So he was born a new age composer. Like, if he was on To Tell the Truth, he'd be like, "And Paul, thank you. This is Paul Avdarino." Just kind of catching his voice. I want to thank Mitch over at the Better World Club. Mitch at the Better World Club, where they do what AAA does, but they stand for environmental causes. Give the Better World Club a call and tell Mitch, I mentioned him on the show today, I want to give away a vacation. Will you guys help me by being receptive to one of the most beautiful places on the planet, Stowe, Vermont? So all I want you guys to do is text, or I said text. I don't even send text, Lisa and Ariel, and I said text. Or send an email and just say what you love about vacation. I want to give away two nights at the beautiful Stowe Hawk. Stowe? I gave the wrong resort. That's kind of tricky, you know. The Stowe Flake Inn. Where I had my first stone treatment, the hot stones and the cold stones. Well, that was profound. All right. We're talking about how to ask for the moon in relationship. Well, this does get juicy, by the way, because the more you could ask and the more you could cultivate your pleasure and erotic intelligence together, you could sense a freedom in your body and a sense of delight. That's just really wondrous. And so here's the thing. We're kind of in this culture, it's pretty much where we're kind of programmed to get up and do work and do this and do. And one of the things I learned about work is that all the teachers that really, all my mentors impacted me by saying, I was in a Tai Chi class one day and the guy would just stop. He would take breaks every 5 minutes, the teacher. And he'd say, I just want you to feel your pulse. Feel your pulse. Stop working. So let's do what's productive and easy. And this thing about how to ask for the moon in your relationship and receive it is really so wondrous and profound. And it's different, right? It's different. You listen, like Lisa was making the point, the way people say things during the day, they say things from force. They say things from a sense of pressure. So when you begin to practice using the human instrument differently and you practice it together, you have a relationship blessing. And that's what, so being exploring vibrant matchmaking and working with Dr. Tesha, I don't know where she went today. Am I abandoned by Dr. Tesha?
No. I don't think so. Glenn,
all right, thank you for that.
Before the break, I was going to ask you, you know, you had mentioned about tuning in, and for individuals that, you know, don't really understand the analogy of a tuning fork and where frequencies are, I think it's sort of like dialing in. You dial in to a station and sometimes you get a little bit of static, and then you can move your dial a little bit more and you turn into a different frequency. So in working with couples and you're working with them as tuning forks for each other, and I know that you can, when you strike one tuning fork, you can actually have the other tuning fork raised to the same vibration. So what do you notice in working with couples to sort of remove those obstacles that are not keeping them on the same frequencies and allowing them to come into a greater harmony?
I'm so glad you asked. Really honored you asked. Well, for one thing, I want to acknowledge Dr. Noam Shirley, because he came up with this formula called Air Bliss, which changes the brain within 30 seconds. He's a neurosurgeon. The thing that I use, as I ask them to take a moment to do a relational body scan, what I do is I ask them to make contact. What's interesting, when there's conflict, we're not usually in touch. We're usually out of touch. So what I do when I'm with people, I always think of what's in front of me is a relationship. So the first thing, I'm not two individuals. I focus on the relationship. And I ask them to soften, to pay attention to their muscles and to their breath together, and to kind of see each other, like soften their eyes, close their eyes, open their eyes. And I ask them to like soften the way they see the person, to kind of see around the person, to kind of get a sense that the wonder that's there they haven't seen in a while. So I do that for the opening and the I don't really like to say end of a session. When we finish, when we complete a session, I ask him to practice that. I also ask him to do these exercises and what I call is the wonder of silence, where they actually might take a walk, and I might have them hold hands. And so one of the things I've learned is that our thinking, that people get tempted to speak to each other in low moods. So I ask people for the next week or two, because around the divorce, the patterns on each other's, usually people speak from the pattern. So I ask them to feel the pattern, to feel the thoughts, and not speak from that, and to wait, and to use their breath. And when I say use the breath, what I mean is to exhale. To exhale and let their mood raise. Like, it's almost like, you know, when you're at the ocean or something, it does always raise. So just that one simple thing where I have them not, speak from their low moods together. That really is, they don't got to figure anything out or process anything or work on anything. I just ask them not to speak from their low moods. And I ask them also, with some couples, I'll give you the exercise. I have them put their hand on their partner's back. And the front of their body, I have them put their hand on their heart. So the first thing what I see with human beings is when we realize we're both respirating together, it creates this wonderful connection. And I first discovered that when I would have people gaze together, I would gaze with them. So gazing and holding each other are profound medicines that put people in touch with the heart, with this heartbeat. So I've never actually seen something. I've never seen, in a sense, conflict when people are actually in touch with each other's heartbeat. So that's what I do when I notice when I'm getting reactive now. I make it a point to see it and let it go by like a storm. You know. Now sometimes I express it, but I express it consciously. The key thing is that we're awake when something occurs. When a storm occurs, we're awake in the house. You know, we don't let the storm just overtake us. But simply put, just being aware. Okay, as an example, right now, your heart's beating, my heart's beating, Aria's heart's beating. So just that recognition, our hearts are beating right now. There's a little bit of a mystery there. There's a little bit of a wonder. So when I realize your heart's beating, Lisa, my heart's beating, Aria's heart's beating, Chris's heart's beating, it kind of makes it. It takes away this intensity of division. It's kind of like when I work with groups on designing their own show or becoming a speaker, I make it a point that at the beginning of the day we do that. You have a heartbeat, I have a party. Let's sense our heartbeat together. And then this whole competitive thing. If I don't feel like you're trying to kill me for my food, and I feel, oh, Lisa's my sister. She's here to give me gifts, and we have a bigger life together. I'm here to give her stuff that I'm so happy to share with her, and because we share this heartbeat, but not even in our theory-wise, we do. So it's when a couple feels that there's this softness, without collapsing, begins to occur, and it's that's how I begin almost every matchmaking session. I begin every vibrant matchmaking session because usually people have obstacles, and they have a theory about their obstacles, but when they soften, so this is called the heartbeat exercise. I handed the mic back to you, Lisa.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a walking stick. It's a stick.
No, thank you for sharing that. Are Ariel, as a fairly newlywed, are there things that you have found in connecting with your wife that is similar to what Glenn is sharing?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually something I wanted to touch upon. That Glenn sort of brought up before. We mentioned how, you know, and this is something I hinted to, but I didn't say explicitly that in the Kabbalah describes how, you know, a husband or wife, they're really one unit, one entity. And at first, when they both come to this world, they're separated. And it's done like that purposely in order for both sides to really rectified the work on themselves so that when they finally meet, they're in the right mind state of being and mindset and love and spiritual level, where when they connect, it can be done in the best and most fullest way possible and the most vibrant way possible. And it's very interesting to know that, and this, you know, bring this back to my own experience, that, you know, the Kabbalah also adds that men and women, you know, there's a very famous saying that men are for Mars and women are for Venus, and it's exactly brought down here, where the Kabbalah describes how men, they come from certain spiritual aspects that are vastly different from women. You know, men come from the aspect of wisdom, and women come from the aspect of understanding. You know, this also explains many different differences. Like, for example, you know, men are very straightforward. You know, they like to think more. They usually tend to you know, they like to think more orderly, you know, one thing at a time. Whereas women, they connect more to but they're also, you know, they also can take on more things at once and have deeper understanding and solution things more so than even men. So these are vast, big differences, but in a marriage, miracle is that these can actually come together to form, you know, a beautiful, rejuvenating, vibrant union that can really take this to the, you know, both sides, both the man and the wife, to whole new different levels. And I think that's really something, you know, without exaggerating, it's really something that I got to see for myself. You know, it's something I've always studied and read, but I never really got to see it in full fruition until, you know, until I got married. Because, you know, like every other couple, my wife and I have differences. You know, there's differences in our personality, differences in the way we approach things, differences, you know, spiritually. And they're both, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, everybody has differences, and they can be beautiful and great. It's just a matter of how does that complement each other? And I think, thank God, just through going through, like, the beginning of our marriage until now, and, you know, going through different ups and downs, and, you know, dealing with different challenges and different positives and things like that, we're able to grow through them together and to work on them together, to really, you know, even so today, to continue growing our connection, which in turn, you know, manifests as, you know, building that complementary relationship and connection and state of being that we both, you know, continue to find ourselves in each and every day. So I think that's really something also to really, that we, you know, that we take in every day more and more and more. And, you know,
oh, you know, Ariel and Lisa, I realize I got to give out the email address. If you guys want to.
Oh, go for it. Sorry.
Yeah, have that vacation, the vacation at the Snowflake. Just write a couple of sentences about your most wondrous vacation or something that's inspiring, and we'll pick someone. We'll have Lisa pick a vacation. We'll have Lisa be the grand picker. It's Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, glenn.vibrantliving@gmail.com. All one word, Glenn, G-L-E-N-N. glenn.vibrantliving@gmail.com. And if you're interested in the Vibrant Living Challenge, which encompasses, you know, encompasses vibrant speaking, unscripted power, how to own the stage, how to, you know, and we do this for 3 months, and we practice these things, and we unfold together. And it's a beautiful thing. If you want to be a host on the Vibrant Living Network and a speaker and come to our events, call me as well. 413-345-3747. 413-345-3747. And I have a note here. It says Lisa wants to sing an outro today. Is that true? Is that an accurate note, Lisa? Did you want to sing the outro today?
I'll pass. I'll let Ariel take
it. Ariel, are you going to sing the outro today?
I appreciate this beautiful opportunity presented mm-hmm. by me, by you and Lisa. I'm very excited to show off my awful singing skills.
Well, you know, when Lisa, I love how you were slow in your answer. It's really, when you ask, it's such a powerful thing to ask people about what vertically has shifted in their lives. And I appreciate the delicacy that you brought that, because it's not something so that's easy that, you know, sometimes life's moving so quick, or it seems it is, and to be able to see what we vertically have shifted. That's why the film that we're doing is called The Miracle, part, the subtitle is The Miracle of Reunion. And the Miracle of Reunion is when people come forward, not come back, but when they come forward together because they see something beyond what brought them, you know, divided them. Oh, which reminds me, Lisa, I want to develop a miracle union with Michael J. Russ. Michael J. Russ hired me, and I helped co-write a book with him called Zero Adversity. And I have Michael on because I want to celebrate my relationship to Michael. We haven't talked in a year, and we have had so many wonderful adventures. And I'm wondering, Lisa, if you'd be willing to be the liaison, having Michael come on the show so we could solve that relationship now and go beyond whatever occurred a year ago so we're in good touch again. Would you be willing to reach to Michael?
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You know, it's interesting. I got a message today through it's a note from the universe, and it said, you know, you just received another day and the 10,000 miracles within it. And then the PS was, the 10,000 isn't literal. There are many more. So I think with the many more miracles, you can choose and really receive the blessings of the day. So absolutely.
Good. Because I know it's you, and I know only good things could happen when you reach out. I know that about you. I appreciate that. More than knowing it, I sense it and feel it from you. We all need those people in our lives that can make a new connection. Because sometimes it's hard for us, right? And I love Michael so much. We had such a wondrous period. He hired me. We never had a contract, but he paid me on time. And there was another woman I never met, Lisa, called the clairvoyant girl, which I got to tell you about. She was the one that always said yes, and we moved things forward. Well, I deeply appreciate you, Lisa, and Ariel, and you guys listening. Thanks for listening to the Vibrant Living Network as we expand our shows. And I want to welcome on our new format, Vibrant Dogs. Vibrant Dogs, woof, woof. Have a blessed day. Thank you. I'm Glenn Brook. Thank you, Chris.